We're off to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Boy, we thought Forte was the outright favorite for the Kentucky Derby. I think he's still the leader, but now we're not so sure after what was just a sensational half hour or hour or so of racing last Saturday with the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, and the Santa Anita Derby. Just some thrilling stretch runs, just great horse racing. You won't see better racing than that. Stretch duels and racing, you try not to use violent terms, but these three stretch runs were flat out street fights in the Wood, the Bluegrass, the Santa Anita. We'll replay those here in just a second, as you heard them in the opening little clips of that. On today's show, we'll speak with Heather Vitale. She's up at Shenandoah Downs. We'll talk to her here in a few moments and get her thoughts on how the meet's going up there. Looking forward to a great day today, and really a sensational one tomorrow. We talked with Darrell Wood a little bit earlier this morning about the preparations they are making up there. Live racing in the Commonwealth up at Shenandoah Downs. Darren Rogers joins us from Churchill Downs, the media services senior director who handles the Derby Dispatch, keeps everybody informed on how the point system is working and how the contestants are moving through the Derby field. We'll talk to Darren here in about 12, 14 minutes or so. We'll also have John Marcon, a longtime retired columnist for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, covered the Kentucky Derby when I used to go out there. I've spent some time on the Churchill balcony with John over the years, and first time we're bringing him back, at least in a long, long time. I'm trying to remember if we've had John Marcon on the show before. If we have, it was a long time ago, but he joins us on Off to the Races here at about a half hour or so. And, of course, Derby Bill Watson, he is just the classic researcher of everything Derby, sending me all kinds of information all week. We'll get his thoughts not only on the Lexington Stakes, which concludes the Kentucky Derby prep season and decides the points, who goes, who doesn't go. The Lexington is the last leg held at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky. It's also the Federico Tessio Day up at Laurel Park. You can win and get in for the Preakness. Get your ticket punched for the Preakness today. We'll go over that field with Derbyville in a few moments as well. Let's go back to last week, though, and we're going to take these East Coast to West Coast. It was the Wood Memorial, which featured Hit Show trying to get into the Derby. New York bred Arctic Arrogance was in the field, but this is how Chris Griffin called the Wood Memorial last week.
There's a group of four up front, and Dreamlike is about to take command. It's Dreamlike who's ready to challenge a very game Arctic Arrogance, who's gutting it out towards the inside. Arctic Arrogance is there. Dreamlike, Hit Show is up on the outside, and Lord Miles, a huge number, is trying to pull off a shocker. Four across the racetrack in the Wood. Hit Show is now put a nose in front. Dreamlike is still there. Lord Miles up on the outside. They're coming down to the finish. Hit Show, Lord Miles, Hit Show, Lord Miles, Lord Miles. Lord Miles at a huge number. Then came Hit Show and Dreamlike.
We had Peter Vegso, the Virginia Derby three-time winning owner, on the show a few weeks ago when Lord Miles was trying to get into the Kentucky Derby preps with The Tampa Bay Derby did not perform very well there, finished fifth. But the Curling Horse comes back and puts up a huge price in the Wood Memorial. $2 win ticket paid $120.50. Just when you thought he was out, he fought his way back in. And Safi Joseph, the winning trainer there, Paco Lopez with the winning ride there. Congratulations to those connections. Then it was the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland. This featured Tappet Trice as a big horse for trainer Todd Pletcher, the favorite. Sun Thunder was in this field for Kenny McPeak, who's been on the show several times recently. Hay Strike in the field as well. The track announcer Kurt Becker calls the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes last Saturday.
Verifying Tappet Trice going at it for the lead. Eighth of a mile to go. Toyota Bluegrass. Verifying is right there to the inside. Tappet Trice is right alongside. Past the 16th pole. Tappet Trice puts ahead in front. Tappet Trice. Tappet Trice wins the Toyota Bluegrass.
Can't say Tappet Trice twice, apparently, Kurt Becker, but Luis Saez gets the win there. Just a huge effort by that horse. That horse just looks better and better. Todd Pletcher having this horse coming into form just at the right time. I think we had Brian King on the show last week. I had Tappet Trice somewhere around fifth on my Derby list. Move him right up to second where Byron King had him because Tappet Trice, just a huge effort in the Toyota Bluegrass. Verifying gets enough points to get into the field. We'll go over the point standings in a little bit and try and give you the roundup for the Kentucky Derby field, which also includes the Santa Anita Derby winner from last week. Frank Marimani is the track announcer there. The big favorite in the race was Practical Move. He got tested as well. Here's the call.
And now it's Practical Move squaring off with Skinner on the outside. Mandarin Hero running a valiant race. He's moving right into contention, splitting rivals with an eighth of a mile to go. Practical Move a length. Mandarin Hero grinding away at him. And Skinner on the outside. Practical Move. Here's Mandarin Hero surging. Practical Move. Mandarin Hero. Practical Move has won the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby by a nose over Mandarin Hero.
Just by a nose. Mandarin Hero still does not have enough points. Somehow that didn't really work out, even though he got second in the Santa Anita Derby. Practical Move, the big winner there. Tim Yakteen, the winning trainer of record, and Ramon Vasquez, the winning jockey there. Congratulations to those connections. That was a very quick blitz through just a sensational Saturday of racing last week. There's live racing back in Virginia, and to tell us about Shenandoah Downs and some of the happenings and the events and just the atmosphere up there is Heather Vitale, who joins us now on Off to the Races. Good morning, Heather. Let's give you a little bit of intro music. The real firecracker of Shenandoah Downs. Heather, good morning. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. You can picture me sitting at the Welcome Center here as I make my journey to Shenandoah Downs, dancing in my car to my favorite song.
Yeah, the real they call you a firework up there? Where does that come from? Is just your bubbly personality doing the social media for harness racing? Well-traveled
Well, you know, I always think the fireworks, you know, they grab your attention. They're explosions. So I like to think of myself as somebody that brings the fun and excitement to the track, or not necessarily to the track, but I guess give the awareness of how much fun and how exciting it is, you know, to be at a harness racing track. So, yeah, fireworks. Definitely not a firecracker, because, you know, firecrackers are just little things. You know what I'm saying? Fireworks, they're explosions.
You want the big fuse there. Give you time to light the fuse and run away. The meet up at Shenandoah Downs, I call it Shenatoga because I just love the way the track interplays with the town and just the atmosphere you have up there. Going to maybe have to fight through a little bit of weather today, post time, 1 o'clock Saturday and Sunday as well. Hoping to actually make it up there tomorrow for the live racing. Got a buddy in Waynesboro. I think we're going to try and head up. But the tell us about your thoughts on the meet so far, the first spring meet. How has it been received? And it's some big players about to come into town, from what I understand.
Yeah, you know, I actually live in Delaware, but I make the little journey to Shenandoah Downs every year to take in, like you said, the atmosphere. It is incredible. First of all, there's a really great history with this track. There's like 100 years of county fair racing at Shenandoah, but this is the 8th year of Paramutual, and like you said, it's the first year for the spring meet. So it started on April 14th. It ends on May 14th. Saturday, Sunday is when we race, 1 p.m., and Woodstock is just a great little town. First of all, it's gorgeous. You know, you've got the mountains, the scenic mountains behind you and everything, but there's so much to do, and I always encourage people to go there on, like, a weekend stay to not only take in the races, but, you know, like, the vineyards are there, hiking. I'm not really a hiking girl, but I am a vineyard girl, and I am a harness racing girl. So it's a great spot. And, yeah, like you said, tons of events going on. Tomorrow, you said you might be there. There's miniature horses that they're going to be racing, which is always a lot of fun to watch. All these kids from James Madison College, they come every weekend, so it's great for young people. We've got corgi races this year, a big barbecue day. John Campbell, who many consider as, like, the GOAT of harness racing as far as drivers are concerned, John Campbell's going to be there on the 29th. Like, this is a track that loves their fans and does so much for the fans of harness racing.
It really is. It's a throwback, and the harness racing there, while it is small track racing, it's really exciting racing. You don't need a pair of binoculars. The grandstand is right up on the track. There's not a bad seat in the grandstand at all. You can watch it all very easily. There's and of course wagering. You can watch and wager across the country now on Shenandoah Downs racing. A big day with Easter last week.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned like the watching of the races. If you go on shenandoahdowns.com, you can watch the races there. You can get free programs there, and then now on top of that, you can actually wager online, like at betting sites like ExpressBet, TwinSpires, TVG, NairaBet. So you can actually print the programs off right off of the website, and then set up your account if you don't already have one, you know, on one of the wagering online betting sites. So it's really cool. I mean, like, this is a big deal. This is a big deal for Virginia Racing, which is having a total renaissance in the standardbred business. I absolutely love it. And you mentioned the grandstand and the track being so close. I mean, you really feel like you are right there on top of the action. It's wonderful. Everyone is so enthusiastic. I every time they ask me to come down, I just get a perma smile on my face because I really enjoy being there.
Are you going to be there tomorrow?
I won't be there tomorrow because I have another engagement.
That's okay. Pass cross. Sometimes I don't. But yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully I'll see you back down there. I mean, you know, definitely. That way I can, you know, meet you in person, because I can't stand talking to somebody on the phone and then not being able to shake their hand.
Well, have fun there today. Hopefully the weather will work out with you for today's racing. And, look forward to maybe crossing paths with you at Shenandoah down the road.
I would love that. And thank you so much for asking me to be on the show today.
Great. Yeah, no, love to hear your take here on Shenandoah Downs racing, and it really is just a hidden gem in the upper Shenandoah Valley. Heather Vitale joining us on Off to the Races this morning. Thank you a lot, Heather.
Thank you.
Great. Heather Vitale joining us. Off to the races, and right around the corner, we got Darren Rogers, who will be joining us on Off to the Races here shortly. The let's go through the point standings here before we talk to Darren quickly. Forte still standing at the top of the standings. Practical Move with 160 points. Angel of Empire, 154. Tappet Trice with that big effort at Keeneland last week. With 150 points. Two Fills, a horse that broke his maiden at Colonial Downs and won two races there, 123. Lloyd Miles up to 105 here. The last horse in, we'll get to these other ones as well. Jace's Road at the moment is sitting there 19th. There are two Japanese horses, Derma Sotogaki and Continuare, that will earn in. Sotogaki actually has done it with his with points, and Continuare, I hope I'm pronouncing right, is the invite on the Japanese Road to the Kentucky Derby, earns that spot. The first two out at the moment are Skinner, who was in that Santa Anita Derby, and Cyclone Mischief. So that's who's sitting out. Now joining us on Off to the Races, he's a little bit closer to Louisville than 8 miles perhaps, but Darren Rogers, Darren the Dodger, joins us on Off to the Races this morning. Let's give him a little intro music as well. Through the first Saturday in May. And Darren, thanks for joining us on Off to the Races this morning. We're almost at the end of the road. You know, the final four has the road starts here, the road ends here. The road started back in September, I think it was, with the Iroquois at all places at Churchill Downs. That is where the road started, and it's going to end in Lexington at Keeneland today. You're almost at the wire, at least as in regard to the on-track action. Tell us just about the atmosphere coming in the opening day at Churchill Downs, which is coming up shortly, and Derby fever, which is upon us now.
Well, Nick, first of all, good morning, and hats off to you for the great pull on 8 miles to Louisville. That's a great pull. yeah, it's a great atmosphere, and yeah, the road is winding down. Really, there's only one horse that can eclipse the top 20, and that's Disarm. If he finishes in the top three, that would displace Jace's Road, who has 45 points. Disarm enters the Lexington today with 40, and with 20 points to the winner, 8 to the runner-up, and 6 to third, that would get him within the top 20. I think we have a very exciting cast this year, very intriguing. We have a worthy champion in Forte, who's been the horse to beat since late last year. You know, horses along the way have continued to progress, get a little faster, and I think we have an intriguing race in 3 weeks.
We spent a little bit of time going over the top of the list, but if there was one thing we learned last year is that you better pay attention to the near bottom of the list with Rich right. Strike coming in off the also eligible list. You know, what a year it's been. Rich Strike's year is holding, you know, the Derby colors on all the, you know, the grandstand and where it's painted all over. But boy, this field just seems like it has been intact. There have been very few defections. At 45, it's actually sort of surprising that horses like Mandarin Hero and Skinner are having a hard time getting into the field, even though they finish high up in these major preps. And then what about last Saturday? I mean, we played the race calls early in the show. But that was about as a good trio of Kentucky Derby prep races that you'll ever see.
Boy, I agree wholeheartedly. In fact, the you know, anytime you run the Wood, the Bluegrass, and the San Anita Derby 4 weeks out, and now that the Arkansas Derby and the Florida Derby are in advance, I don't think there's any more tension-filled weekend in racing than the qualifier, you know, of those trio of races, from horsemen to fans getting excited. But it was a great, 1.5 hours of racing. You know, Tappan Trice and Verifying. Verifying to me is kind of being the most, you know, in and out horse that I have not been able to, you know, narrow down when he's going to run good, when he's going to run bad. And he showed up in the Bluegrass, made all the running, and Tappan Trice was able to run him down. Of course, he is improving for Todd Platcher. What a trio Todd has. I mean, nobody is better at getting a horse to the Kentucky Derby than Todd Platcher, who has had a record 62 starters. He, of course, has won the race twice, 2010 with Always Dreaming, and then 2010 with Super Saver, and then 2017 with Always Dreaming. Todd loaded for barrel. I mean, what he's got the top three choices: Forte, Tappan Trice, and King's Barn. You know, maybe you'll get a practical move to take money. Maybe you'll get even the Japanese Invader, Derma Sotogate, because it was a powerful win in Dubai, and he likes to be forwardly placed. This is a great weekend. And yes, and how about, you know, you talked about Rich Strike a year ago. Well, last weekend, I mean, with the big long shot jumping up at 72-1 for Safi Joseph. I mean, that was just a monstrous move for Lord Miles to jump onto the screen.
We had Peter Vegso, the owner. He's a three-time Virginia Derby winning owner. We had him on the show before the Tampa Bay Derby, and then he ran a moderate race in the Tampa Bay Derby, and then just rises up and wins that four-horse duel inside the eighth pole in New York to get his ticket punched to the Derby. You talked about horses showing up. Forte shows up at Churchill Downs, I think on Monday. I think I saw it through your Derby dispatch. But you have horses on the grounds there now. I think I counted like 10 of them that are there on the grounds. Do you like set your alarm clock about a half hour earlier each day as you get closer to the first Saturday in May?
You nailed it right there. You got to condition that body to get up bright and early. Yeah, we had two horses breeze this morning at 5:30 a.m. in Angel of Empire and Jace's Road for Brad Cox. They both went easy half miles in 48-1. Angel of Empire breezed with Tappet's Conquest, while Jace's Road breezed with Victory Formation. I think, you know, the real workouts along the way on the road to the Derby are next weekend's workouts. Those are the keys. Those are when they set the hammer down and, you know, the gas is taken off kind of in that last workout. But when you get 2 weeks out of the Derby, usually that's when these horses are, you know, the screws are tightened and they're set down for a drive, and we can get a true indication as to how happy and fit these horses are.
What are some of the new things race watchers might see for this year's Kentucky Derby coming up here in some 3 weeks or so?
Well, there's two things you're going to notice when you start seeing the videos of the workouts and pictures of the workouts. We're unveiling our new first turn experience. You know, we used to build temporary tents out in the first turn area that usually, you know, sat about, you know, 3,200 people. Half of it was covered. And, you know, it was like much like staging a golf tournament where you put up the temporary stands. We invested $90 million in making a permanent fixture over there, and 7,100 seats Every one of them is covered. They're padded, stadium style. In fact, if there's any of your listeners out there that are looking for a last-minute trip to Louisville for the Derby, we actually do have a select few remaining seats left over there. Anybody wants to go on, just go to KentuckyDerby.com/Derby Week, and that'll show you the Derby Week ticketing options that are still available. That's going to be great, and then fans are going to also notice our paddock project. We are in phase one of a two-phase project. We've done a lot of the utility work underground, the sewer, the electrical, all that stuff has been complete. And what we've done is we've now paved with asphalt around the paddock. The walking ring is complete. It's more than 2.5 times the size of the old paddock, so it gives us much more spacious for the horses, much more spacious for the owners and trainers, especially on Oaks and Derby days. And the stalls are going to sit beneath the twin spires. So right when you walk through the gates at Churchill Downs, you're going to see horses in the paddock beneath the iconic twin spires. The completion of that project will be done next year. For the 150th Kentucky Derby, and building up around that paddock is going to be so impressive, about 3,500 seats that will surround the paddock. That includes some rail boxes, some premium dining spaces around the paddock, a new club, and also two new video boards that are going to be absolutely sensational. I don't know about you, Nick, but anytime, you know, I'm not at Churchill Downs and I go to another racetrack, the paddock is the place I want to be. It's the heartbeat of any racetrack. The fans congregate. They look at the horses up close and personal. And anytime you can have a fabulous paddock setting, it makes the experience even more so enjoyable. So we're looking forward to debuting those two things this year.
Yeah, that's really intriguing, the buildup. I'd forgotten about the renovation at the paddock. I mean, that's just a massive renovation. Well, Darren, thanks for it's not 8 miles to Louisville from Virginia. It's more like 8 hours, but from Charlottesville, a little bit closer where I am, in Richmond, it probably is about 8 hours. We've driven that trip many, many times.
I should have dropped by last week. I drove right past you. We were on our way for spring break at Myrtle Beach with my son's high school baseball team and went right through Richmond.
Oh, yeah, wish I would have known. Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah, if you come back over the summer, we'll get you in your newest property under the Churchill umbrella, Colonial Downs.
Would love to see it. Would love to see it.
Yeah, missed the turf burn. Just missed the turf burn, actually. Probably saw the smoke while you were driving by.
It's a rite of passage every spring. The turf burn, papal smoke.
That course is supernatural. It's probably not too far from wrong to hear you say that. Darren, thanks a lot for joining us on Off to the Races, and good luck with the 149th running of the Kentucky Derby, and we'll be watching, and good luck. We appreciate you coming on the show this morning.
Absolutely. Good luck to the fans out there.
Great. Joining us on Big Dodger Fan, joining us on Off to the Races this morning. We're headed to break. On the other side, we'll have an update on the situation at Maryland. Just a few comments, perhaps from Alan Foreman. Those are recorded from the show that is running our sister show that runs on Baltimore Positive, 1070 AM out of Towson, Maryland. Frank Vespi hosts that. As well. He's not here today, so giving Frank a little bit of time off. John Marcon around the corner, and of course, Derbyville in deep stretch. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. Don't go anywhere.
Wow. Live racing at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races rolls on every Wednesday through Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern through March 1st and every Thursday through Saturday through the month of October. Mark your calendars for Friday, August 25th for the 15th renewals of the Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 $750,000 Charlestown Oaks, now the richest three-year-old filly sprint stakes race in North America. So come see us here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Learn more at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com.
The first ever spring harness racing season at Shenandoah Downs kicks off April 1st. No fooling. Post time every Saturday and Sunday is 1 o'clock. Parking and admission are always free at Woodstock, located off of I-81 in the cradle of the Shenandoah Valley. Disappointed that you can't make live racing? Wager online with Twin Spires, TVG, ExpressBet, NairaBets, or at any Rosie's Gaming Emporium or Virginia Horseplay OTB. Find out more at ShenandoahDowns.com. And we're back live on Off to the Races, powered by TheRacingBiz.com. A little bit of an update this week coming out of Maryland, where the General Assembly has passed legislation that creates the Maryland Thoroughbred Racetrack Operating Authority. This is a plan and an initiative that basically will supersede the current game plan in Maryland, which is to basically consolidate or renovate the tracks up at Laurel and at Pimlico. To describe what it is, what's better about it, where it's been, how it works, Frank Vespy spoke with Alan Foreman earlier this week. Alan Foreman, the counsel for the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, and this is what he had to say about the status of racing in Maryland.
One thing that everybody needs to understand, it's a very sobering part of Maryland racing, but we're not going to have gaming at the racetracks in this state, unlike our neighboring states, including Virginia. That was foreclosed when Frank Stronach did not properly file his application for a slots license and pay the fee. He was disqualified, and when that happened, we being the racing industry, was frozen out of the ability to build our business through not only racing revenue, but gaming revenue. So what we get is a subsidy. We get money from the VLT wagering throughout the state. We get a piece for purses, and there is a small piece that goes to the racetracks for capital improvements. We had four facilities, then we had three facilities, we have two facilities, and the problem has been, and this predates the Stronach Group, we only have one revenue stream supporting two facilities, and that's insufficient. It doesn't work. It's why the redevelopment plan was proposed. It's why Belinda Stronach wanted to close Pimlico and move to Laurel. And so when you couple that with the fact that we will not have gaming in the state, we're not an attractive option for some third-party operator or a gaming company, because there's no reason for them to come in here. So we've got to figure this out ourselves. And look, the Stronach Group has made very clear they're not prepared to stay here and sustain massive losses while they continue in operations supporting two facilities. So to us, the only way to move forward was to create a new paradigm, to look at options elsewhere. We're going to have to live within our means. We think we can do it. We, through this evolving plan, will have at least one new facility. We're going to have new barns for new stables, new backstretch for the horsemen. Racing is going to look different in the future, but the status quo isn't going to work. And if you look around the country, there aren't very many venues where new facilities are being built and racing is being reimagined. So to me, this is all to the good, but somebody has to oversee this, just like the Maryland Stadium Authority oversees baseball and football. The Stadium Authority doesn't run the teams. They don't run the events. They oversee the properties. They oversee through an operator compliance. That's what this authority ultimately we hope will do. But this authority will have the ability to bring in a third-party operator if one can be found, or we can set up our own operating entity, such as is done at Del Mar or done in New York. So there are lots of options, and that's what we're going to have to look at. We've had teams of experts looking at the financial operations, the business operations, the physical plants. We have a very good handle on what we think we need to do. It's now just a problem of now taking this to the next step. To the next level.
Since the time I went to the Preakness last with John Marcon, they've been talking about it being the last edition of the Preakness run at Pimlico, either this year or the year following. Not buying it anymore. I think it's going to be there for still some time, no matter how treacherous the physical plant at Pimlico can be at times. But that was Alan Foreman talking about how the current Racing and Community Development Act is going to be replaced with the Racetrack Operating Authority. You can find out a lot more. Frank did some great reporting on the racingbiz.com to find out a lot more about that. But that was Alan Foreman, Maryland's Thoroughbred Council, some comments with Frank Vespi earlier this week. The want to bring on John Marcon, who I just talked about. Probably last time I physically saw him may have been at the Preakness. And John joins us now on Off to the Races. Let's see how he feels. I think he's feeling a little lucky.
I feel lucky. I feel lucky, yeah.
One of the perks of being a guest on Off to the Races is that you get to pick your own bumper music.
Today.
John Marcon, feeling lucky this Derby year. John, thanks for joining us on Off to the Races this morning.
Well, thank you, Nick. I think you're going to have to be pretty lucky to pick the winner of this year's Derby. That's why I picked that music. There's lots of hope and lots of contenders, but not a lot of clarity. So, anyway, how are you? Yes, it has been a while since I was on the Triple Crown circuit, and I still pay a fair amount of attention to it, but I got to just caution everybody that my knowledge of the horses is not anywhere near as comprehensive as it was, you know, back in when I was writing about racing for the Times-Dispatch here in Richmond, and I was attending those races every year. Which I pretty much did from, I guess, 1980-something to 2007 when I left TD. So with that said, I'm more of a fan now. I do have a good background, though, in what's happened in a lot of those races in the past.
You know, going back just a little bit for our listeners, our show basically started out of Big Al's radio show. On Friday morning, we used to handicap the Derby. Maryland Jeff, Derby Bill, and I used to handicap all the Triple Crown races, and we always thank Big Al. A lot of introductions have occurred through his show. We would go to the Derby, and there would be John Marcon typing away, working on a story, chatting a little bit on the balcony. What are some of your more famous memories? You know, what comes to mind when you think about going to Louisville or going, you know, through the renovations at Churchill Downs or going to the Preakness? What are some of the more memorable moments that you've had?
I'm going to tell a little story on myself. They sent me up to the Preakness one year. My first appearance in a Triple Crown race was kind of a fluke. Bill Millsaps, the late great Richmond sports editor, he was our guy who wrote for those, but one year he decided he wanted to get married in May, and he couldn't cover the Preakness and get married in the same day. So I was up there in I think it was 1981 maybe, and I'm all gassed up. I'm ready to cover horse racing. And I was talking up in Maryland, and they said, well, you're just one of the horses just shipped in. It's David Whiteley from New York. He's got a horse named Highland Blade. It's a pretty good horse. And so I said, you can go out and talk to him now. He's there. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to go out and talk to David Whiteley and, you know, get a story about Highland Blade. That'd be a nice way to start off the Preakness. And so I'm, you know, frantically looking up stuff about the horse that I can ask the trainer about. I think I got a reasonable amount of backgrounding done. And so I go over to him and I'm talking to him. After about 3 minutes, he stops the interview. And White looks at me. He says, John, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. And he said, what sport do you normally cover, football or baseball? And I was unable to pass myself off as an expert then. But that was, like I said, that was my first day at the track as a reporter covering a Triple Crown race. It only got better from there.
That was 1981, right?
81, I believe, yeah. And
so that was Pleasant Colony's Preakness.
It was and is one of my all-time favorite horses. Virginia bred, of course. Sire of a bunch of really good horses. Didn't look like much. Usually had some... He had like a goat disease or something that he kind of looked a little bit mangy sometimes when you saw him. Yeah. But he was a darn honest runner. And for a long time, I did pretty well, especially at Churchill Downs, betting off the program, just looking for Pleasant Colony breeding with younger horses. Because he had a bunch of good ones. Not really remembered today as one of the greats because he didn't win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, won the Derby, won the Preakness. I got a chance to see him when he was some 25 years old. He was one of the... When I got into the game, I got a chance to see a lot of these aging champions that came from Virginia and Pleasant Colony. Unfortunately, I did not get to see Secretariat. But in person, but I did get to see so many others. Hansel, Pleasant Colony, Genuine Risk. You know, I got to see so many of those horses. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to do that. John, what do you think about the Derby this year, Triple Crown? What are your thoughts? Who do you like coming up into it?
Like I say, I just think, you know, this is one of many years where, you know, like, you go to Louisville and I would be sitting around in the press box if I were still covering racing, and I'd be talking to the other writers, and I would think you could probably make good cases for about 8 of these horses. I mean, it's not going to work out that way. I think the public is going to make Forte the betting favorite, even though a lot of the insiders are already looking past Forte to horse they think is maybe a little more suited for that mile and a quarter. But again, that's a question that we won't answer until Derby Day. You know, can horses like Forte and that Santa Anita Derby winner, I mean, they're supposedly just a little light on endurance. We'll see. I think it's just a tough one. And plus, you have that darn Dubai Derby winner from Japan. Won the Dubai Derby, what, 6 lengths, something like that. He's apparently going to be there. And no one will know what to do with him because no horse that ever ran in Dubai has ever hit the board in the Derby. And there's been about 10 or 12 of them. So I'm not really sure, you know, exactly who's going to win yet. But I would say that I would probably develop a wager without the favorite. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if any of, like I say, 7 or 8 horses won. How about you? Yeah. You got a favorite?
Well, Forte is certainly the sentimental favorite, as that horse was bred by Southgate Farm here in Millwood, or not here in Virginia, Millwood in Northern Virginia, which was out of Queen Caroline. So the horse was actually foaled in Kentucky, but the breeder is from Virginia, and that horse spent a lot of time in Virginia. So Forte has just been a standout. It got a lot closer after last week, quite frankly. I mean, I'm not sure it muddied the water. It was pretty clear with Forte until last week.
I think what you're going to see, if you're betting, and if you're, you know, somewhere, you know, live where you can watch it, I think you're going to see, as the race approaches on Saturday, Forte will become a stronger and stronger favorite. Just because, like I say, other than the fact that not a lot of people liked this last race, there's no reason to bet against him. He's impeccably bred. He has wonderful connections. The only thing you might question is his trainer's ability to win the Derby. You know, Todd Pleasure's won 2 Derbies, which is great. Sounds pretty good. Until you realize he's entered 62 horses in the race. That's a lot to have only won twice. And so I don't think you can count Pletcher as a real plus there, just because he doesn't have a great Derby track record, except for getting horses into the race. He's very good at that. So I don't know. But I think the Derby crowd, that big crowd in Louisville, they love a favorite. If you're still attending the races at Churchill, the favorites all through the Derby and Oaks Day programs are always bet down, because the fans, you know, they look at the, you know, a lot of them don't go to the races that much. They look at the form and they say, oh, this one looks at like the standout, and they bet them. So I think there's always opportunities to make money there, and I think this year's Derby could be one of them. You'll be able to get awfully good horses that won major Derby preps for better than 10-1, probably, in that big field. So it will be a great year to have an opinion, I'll say that.
I'll never forget standing up there on the newly renovated Churchill balcony and looking down as the 2005 Derby finished, and everybody's looking in their program to see what number Giacomo was as he came in at a big price. I think I was standing next to you, and everybody's like, who is that one? And
that's right. Some of these, you know, surprise Derby winners go on to be kind of good horses. And some of them, you just, well, oh yeah, you won the Derby. It's a race that has a bunch of unique characteristics, including the huge size of the field, and a lot of those characteristics produce unusual outcomes. And you know, the Derby, I don't think could stand up and say, you know, like the Belmont Stakes is the ultimate test. Well, the Derby's not really the ultimate test. It's like the first ultimate test. You got to navigate through all that traffic. I mean, you have a whole bunch of problems in the Derby you may never have anywhere else. And plus, every single one of these horses is going 1.25 miles for the first time. So, except maybe, I don't know, some foreign horses, I guess, come in with that distance under their belt already. But right.
The Dubai race is 1.25 miles. That's the one thing it does have over.
That horse's name, I'm trying to figure out a way to remember it. Derma Sodagake.
That's pretty good.
You're going to be hearing a lot about that horse before the race. And the thing to remember, though, is that there have been a bunch of coming from Dubai to Churchill is not unprecedented. And success in the Derby would be unprecedented, however. So, I don't know what to do about old Derma, but that's a horse that everybody's going to have to kind of at least account for in some way.
Yeah, we'll be watching, and so will you, John. And we appreciate your insight today on Off to the Races and catching up. And looking forward to bringing you back here over the summer. Maybe we'll talk a little Colonial then.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to, for people who don't know, I mean, I worked for the Times-Dispatch for a while. I left the state between 2007 and 2018. I was, you know, working out west. I was the editor-in-chief of several newspapers. I'm back. I'm kind of retired. I still have a little job. And I am enjoying life again in Virginia.
Yeah, plenty, and enjoying the racing too. I get anyway. The Derby Bill here, John, but thanks for coming on, and it was great to catch up.
Tell Derby William I said hello. Thank you now.
Will do. John Marcon, I'm sure he was listening, and we got a little Derby Bill, of course, changes his intro bumper music from week to week. Let's see what he has brought on for this week.
Drinking dog whiskey, tell the white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. Don't you cross your heart.
Now it's not surprising to hear a song like this when you're talking about Derby Bill. But I imagine this has something to do with bluegrass and Keeneland. Derby Bill, you just heard John Marcon on Off to the Races. Derby, referring to you as Derby William. You drinking up whiskey this morning? It's pretty early, but I guess it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Is that right?
No, Lexington bred. We got Keeneland on our mind, and Chris Stapleton's from Keeneland, so I give him a little dark whiskey music to get things rolling here. You guys meandering a little bit. There's too many races today for me to get to slow down. We got Keeneland, and we got Laurel's Preakness prep races, so had to get things going, even using some fast bluegrass.
There you go. Let's get to it. Good weather in Lexington, 78 degrees, mostly sunny, a slight breeze. Perfect for Keeneland today. A little bit more troubled up at Laurel, where there's a 40% chance of rain around 4 o'clock or so. Cloudy, 75 degrees up at Laurel today. You mentioned the Stone Street Lexington Stakes, the last chance. Disarm is can spoil maybe a few people's parties, 7-2. In this field, he's the only one that can really get in. Ken McPeak has pulled Dennington from the Derby consideration. I'm not sure he would have enough points. 45 is what's needed at the moment before any defections, and there are a couple people that have 45 horses, like Mandarin Hero and Skinner and Cyclone Mischief, all trying to get in. These are good horses too. These are horses that could still win the Derby. But let's take a look at the Lexington 11 horse field. What are your thoughts on the last stop on the Kentucky Derby trail?
Yeah, the breeding's magnificent here. Justify's got Arabian Lion in here. Gunrunner's got Disarmed, the favorite, and you got Son of Curlin, Prayer Hawk in this one. Just the breeding's tremendous. These have more than one that could make my Kentucky Derby. Arabian Lion looks the best here, possibly. Disarmed won a monster maiden at Saratoga and has done nothing wrong. So both of them are 7-2. They can't put a 4-5 price on these horses because they're all so evenly matched, as you said. Empire Strikes Fast should get a better trip this time and run better. Getting more experience. And Prairie Hawk's the one from Curlin that I like, 15-1 to add some value to the three top horses here. So, but they're all about $10 horses in this race. It's a great betting race for the Stone Street Lexington today at about 5 o'clock. So unleash your wallet, Nick.
Before we leave Keeneland, I know you're talking about the Lexington today, but you have interest in a race tomorrow. We all do.
Yeah, I think a horse called Damon's Mound, if you know locally, he trained about 8 times at Colonial Downs, about as many times as you went to Dairy Queen. he goes in the Palisades tomorrow, making his return. I thought he'd make the Kentucky Derby. We all did. We all wanted him to. But he goes Palisades Sunday, so we'll mix that in with your Sunday racing at Shenandoah with another winner from Buzzer, Another winner, Nick. Nick Buzzer is a star, not a star like Heather Vitale up there, but a different type star. Star in my wallet on that one. And you got the Laurel prep races are great today, too. The Tessio has the return of Sheldon Russell. And, you know, his training wife has two in the race, which is kind of interesting because Talita rides one and Sheldon gets the better horse, Prince of Tarek in the Tessio. So that's a prep for the Preakness. And then you got the other one, the Black Eyed Susie prep, Weber City Mist, a horse called Crito Mama. Solid favorite there, Nick. And just nice card. Hope the weather stays away at Laurel and people unleash some Easter funding that they've got on the races today.
Yeah, if the Tessio win today, see you in May. The winner of the Tessio gets a free pass to the Preakness starting gate. Yeah, Sheldon Russell coming back with Prince of Jericho. And the other Brittany Russell interests circling the drain. They're with Heavy and Toledo, who, by the way, Repo Rocks lost last week. It was Toledo who beat him with Russell's horse Doppelganger in the Carter, one of those horses we were watching. Quick thought, perhaps, only about 2 minutes left here, on the Kentucky Derby field itself. Who do you sort of like? Is, you know, picking the race here 3 weeks out, who are your favorites? Who do you shy away from?
Not shying away from too many now. Raise Kane lost a little love fest in my eyes, so I'm shying away from that type horse. But Rocket Can and some of the 50-to-1s are becoming 50-to-1s. And then you only see one out of the Lexington that possibly run in the Derby. So it's a pretty solid field with Porte and Tappet Trice. And my horse, I liked a little bit, Derma Sataka. Is down to 6-to-1 in the future, so a lot of Japanese money coming in on that horse, I think. So I'm not getting a lot of value out of Derma Sakatara, so I might have to find another doctor for the Preakness there. Practical Joke, Angel of Empire, King's Barn. I mean, you got two fills is our long shot for Ravelli. We spoke about Ravelli earlier. 20-to-1, that's a fair price. So definitely a very competitive race, and Forte's on top of the list. You know, previous races, the last race took a little wind out of his him being 4-to-5 or something stupid like that. So, you know, Forte's still the top dog, but there's about 10 of them I got ready to beat him, Nick.
All right. Yeah, no, we'll be breaking that down in the upcoming editions. Thank you, Derby Bill. Good luck today at the races. I want to thank everybody who is part of the show today. Heather Vitale, Darren Rogers, John Marcon, of course, Derby Bill Watson, James Flowers, great job in the seat today. And I'm your host, Nick Hahn. We'll see you next week on Off to the Races with all the recaps post-time, 10 o'clock.